Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
Thank you, Pastor Scott and worship team, and I want to invite you, church family, to join me once again in the book of Jonah. We left off at the end of Jonah chapter 1 last week, and so this week we will pick back up in Jonah chapter 2. We'll cover this chapter this morning. As we consider the urgent mission that God has set before us and how faithful He is as we seek to fulfill the mission that He's called us to fulfill. If you don't have a Bible, the text will be up on the screen this morning. If you don't own a Bible, there's some on the Next Steps table. We'd invite you to grab one of those, and you can take that home as our gift to you and encourage you to begin reading the scriptures for yourself. I want you, church, as I've always said, to follow along with me in the text. I preach verse by verse through chapters of the Bible, and so you can follow along, and it should be easy to do that as we work through Jonah chapter 2 this morning. So I want to read the text, I want to pray, and then I want us to dive in. Here's the word of the Lord. It says, "Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, 'I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. And then I said, I am driven away from your sight. Yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you and to your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope and steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord.' And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land." Father, we ask this morning that you would give us eyes to see, or that you would give us ears to hear, and that you would give us hearts ready and willing to respond to your word and to your spirit. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. You know, it's been said that sin will take you further than you ever wanted to stray. It will cost you more than you ever wanted to pay, and it will keep you longer than you ever wanted to stay. Jonah, as we left him last week, remember, had been attempting to run from the presence of God. God had given Jonah a mission. God had said to Jonah, "I want you to go to this city called Nineveh, and I want you to proclaim to them that unless they repent of their sin, that they will experience my judgment." And as we said last week, Jonah said, "I think I'm going to go the opposite direction, away from the presence of the Lord, attempt to at least." And we saw Jonah last week as he's interacting with the people on the boat, as they're trying to figure out, why in the world has this storm come upon you? And let me just say, I had the opportunity, along with our staff yesterday, to go offshore fishing. And when there's nothing around, you start thinking a little bit. I specifically was thinking, which one of these knuckleheads will I throw overboard if a storm comes, right? That's what I was thinking. I'll be honest with you. I was wondering that. Pastor Scott, right? Get him overboard, right? But Jonah in this moment is running from the Lord, and the guys on the boat finally decide, we're going to do what Jonah has asked, and we're going to toss him overboard. And Jonah begins his descent into the ocean, and he is swallowed by a great fish that the Lord appoints to swallow Jonah. And so we find Jonah, I think, at one of the absolute lowest points in his life. In the belly of the fish, and the text says that he was in there for 3 days and for 3 nights. Now, as we think about this, we know that Jonah, in chapter 1, fleeing from the presence of the Lord, is in sin, right? You know that, I know that, we know that Jonah is trying to run from God, away from the mission that God had given him, and he is in direct disobedience to what God's called him to do. Now, here's the thing that you know and I know, and we talked a little bit about last week, that sometimes we find ourselves in the exact same position as Jonah. Not necessarily in the belly of a fish, but we are running from God. We are living in sin, and we're trying to get away from the presence of the Lord. And what we're going to look at this morning is simply what it means to repent, to turn from our sin, and to turn to God. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus this morning, this is something that we have experienced as followers of Jesus. We came to a point in our lives when we repented of our sin, we turned from it, and we turned towards the Lord and received the salvation that Jesus' death on the cross offers to us. We've experienced this before, but interestingly, for us as believers even, we have to be ready when we are in sin to turn from our sin and turn to the Lord. That's where Jonah is. Jonah's a child of God. In fact, Jonah's a prophet, a preacher, one who is carrying out God's mission, and Jonah is in sin. And so what does it look like for us to turn from our sin and turn to the Lord? What does that process of repentance look like? We're going to see it in the text this morning. And just to go ahead and give you fair warning, I know that typically I have 3 points. And if I ever go over 3, some people, Rob Allen, fill up their sermon page and don't have enough room, and they may burst out and cry about it, right? If you remember that a couple of weeks ago, that's what happened. So I have 5 this morning, okay? So 5 points as we look at the process of repentance that Jonah walks through. I want you to notice the first step that we see in verses 1 and 2 in chapter 2 here. If you're taking notes, this is what I want you to write down. Jonah called out to God. Jonah called out to God. This is what the text says. Jonah then prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish. I think it's interesting that it took Jonah 3 days, right? Because that's what we are left off with at the end of verse 17. He was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. Then Jonah called out to the Lord. Now, I don't know what Jonah was doing during that point in time. I don't know what, maybe he was pouting. Oftentimes in our sin, we find ourselves being disciplined by the Lord, finding ourselves pouting. Maybe Jonah was trying to recover from the swim that he had taken into the ocean. We don't know exactly what Jonah was doing during this point in time, but we know that eventually he prays to the Lord, his God. He calls out to God, and this is what he says in verse 2. I called out to the Lord. Notice this next phrase, out of my, what? Distress. To which all of us would say, duh, right? If you're in the ocean and a big fish comes and swallows you, I consider that distress. I don't know about you, but that would be a distressful situation. And so in his distress, Jonah called out to the Lord. And not only did Jonah call out, but the Lord, he says, answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. Now I want you to think about this for just a minute, because some have made the accusation here, and you're going to see as we continue to work through the book of Jonah, have wondered if Jonah really was attempting to turn from his sin and turn to the Lord at this point, or if Jonah was simply saying, oh no, maybe God can help me. Let me try to illustrate this. If you're riding down the road and the blue lights come on behind you, are you ever tempted to call out to the Lord in that moment? Now, Lord, I don't know who this police officer is, but I just want you to put it on their heart. A heart of compassion, Lord. I want you to lay it on their hearts that I would get a warning, that I wouldn't get a ticket. And here's what we do. And Lord, I promise you, Lord, I promise I will never, what? Speed again. Now, let's just play a game. How many of y'all have done that? True story, right? The rest of you who have been pulled over are lying, okay? Just be honest. Just be honest this morning. Some have looked and said, maybe that's what's going on with Jonah. Jonah has gotten caught. Jonah is in the belly of the fish, and Jonah is crying out to the Lord because not that he wants the Lord, but he wants to get out of the situation that he's in. And here's what we know. God knows our hearts. God's not confused of what's going on in Jonah's life at this point. He knows the deepest, darkest parts of our heart, and he knows whether or not Jonah is true in his distress and calling out, whether Jonah wants God or if he just wants to get out of the situation that he finds himself in. I think at this moment, Jonah truly is seeking the Lord as he calls out to him. Or else, God wouldn't have offered the forgiveness that we'll see him offer at the end of the chapter this morning. But Jonah calls out to God. I don't know where you are in your walk with the Lord this morning. I don't know if you are a follower of Jesus or not. If you're not, this would be, for me, the first step that you should take this morning. Simply to call out to the Lord where you are, recognizing who God is and what Jesus has done for you, that in your sin, God loves you, God desires a relationship with you, he desires to save you through what Jesus accomplished on the cross. The same goes true for us if we are followers of Jesus this morning, and yet we find ourselves similar in Jonah's situation where there's sin that's present in our life that hasn't been dealt with, hasn't been confessed, hasn't been turned from. We need to call out to the Lord. You know, oftentimes God gets our attention by the circumstances that we find ourselves in. We're going to talk about this in just a little bit. But here's the truth for us, that we don't have to wait until we're in the belly of the fish to call out to God. See, the truth is, God in our lives, through his Spirit, if we're his children, convicts us of sin that's present in our lives. And let's back up even before that. If there's temptation to sin in our lives, we can call out to the Lord for his strength and his help to battle that temptation so that we don't step into sin. Here's the thing that we see in Jonah at this point, that he called out to the Lord. That's the first step in Jonah's process of repentance. I want you to notice verse 3. If you're taking notes, here's the second step that Jonah takes. Jonah accepted God's discipline. Jonah called out to the Lord, but also Jonah accepted God's discipline. Look at verse 3. Jonah says, for, what's that next word? You cast me into the deep. Now, hang on just a second. I thought Jonah's shipmates cast him into the deep. Well, they did. But God was very much a part of Jonah being cast overboard. It was God who had brought the storms upon the boat. It was God when they had cast lots on the boat to try to figure out which one of the people on the boat this issue was going on with. They realized then it was Jonah. You got to know God's hand was in that. So they cast Jonah overboard, but Jonah here says, "You cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me." You have the opportunity, I want you to write just beside that, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11. What we encounter there is the writer of Hebrews letting us know that just like a loving father disciplines his children, for us who are children of God, if we are walking in sin, God disciplines us. God's desire is not that we walk in sin, but that we walk in relationship and obedience with him. But God, just like a loving father, disciplines his children who are walking in disobedience towards him. We see in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 through 11, how people often respond to that discipline. You see, we can not think it's a big deal, God's discipline in our lives, in our sin. We can just kind of shrug it off as if it's not a big deal. That's not the step that we need to take. We also can approach God's discipline in our lives in another way. We can think that God hates us, and that's the reason that he's disciplining us. But don't forget that it's out of love that God disciplines his children. And here's the other thing. We can bristle against God's discipline and invite upon ourselves even greater discipline. And the writer of Hebrews says, possibly even to death. Or we can receive God's discipline in our lives, and it can help us grow in righteousness. Those are the ways that we can respond to God's discipline. Jonah here takes that last path. Jonah says, "God, I've realized that it's at your hand that I'm being disciplined." And we're going to see Jonah continue to walk through his process of repenting to the Lord for his sin. You may be here this morning, and the truth for you is that you're experiencing God's discipline in your life right now. And you may be tempted in this moment just to kind of shrug it off. I remember when I have a younger brother who's 13 years younger than I am, and my parents adopted him when I was 13 years old, and I can remember my parents disciplining him as he was growing up. And since I wasn't close to his age at that point, I didn't take pleasure in it, as some kids do, right? Some kids, when their sibling gets in trouble, they kind of smirk a little bit, laugh. But I didn't do that. I was kind of watching to see what was going on. And I'll never forget that one day he got a spanking and he walked into the bathroom and he crawled up on the bathroom counter. I would say he's probably 3 or 4 at that point. And he turns around and he looks at himself in the mirror and he said, "That didn't hurt." Don't we sometimes respond that way to God's discipline in our own lives? Now, "God, that didn't really hurt that bad. Maybe I'll be able to kind of work through this." And we invite in that moment greater discipline in our lives as believers, remaining in our sin and not turning from it. We need to respond the way that Jonah responded here. We need to receive God's discipline so that it grows us in righteousness. We could be looking in the text this morning, verses 4 through 7. Here's the third step that Jonah takes in repenting to the Lord. Jonah trusted in God's promises. Look at verse 4 through 7. It says, "Then I said, I am driven away from your sight." You got to know Jonah believed that. In this process of disciplining, oftentimes we think maybe God doesn't love us anymore, maybe God's not with us anymore. And Jonah says, "Listen, I felt as if I was being driven from your sight." But I want you to notice the next part. "Yet I shall again look upon your holy temple." Jonah believed even in the moment when he didn't feel like God loved him. When he didn't feel like God was with him, Jonah says, listen, here's the way I feel. And yet, here's the promise that I know is true. See, oftentimes in our lives as believers, we are driven by our feelings. In fact, oftentimes in our lives, we're driven by our feelings. We feel like God doesn't love us. We feel like maybe we've done too much. We feel like God's against us. And yet it's in those moments that we have to cling to the promises of God in Scripture that we know are true, even when we don't feel like they're true. Jonah says here, I feel like I'm driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Listen to this. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. If you notice in verse 4 and verse 7, you may want to underline these words in your Bible. He refers here, Jonah does, to God's temple. He refers to his holy temple. He says, I will once again go to your holy temple. He says, I will lift up my eyes and look upon your holy temple. Why is Jonah using that phrase? You don't have to turn there this morning. You can write this down because I want us to understand a little bit of what Jonah is trying to communicate there and what he's saying. But if you want to write down 1 Kings chapter 8, verses 38 through 40, and I believe it's going to be up on the screen this morning as we get there. This is what Solomon, as he finished rebuilding the temple, this is what Solomon, in his dedication to the temple in 1 Kings chapter 8, beginning in verse 38, this is what he says. If there is famine in the land, if there is pestilence or blight or mildew or locust or caterpillar, if their enemy besieges them in the land at their gates, whatever plague, whatever sickness there is, listen to this, whatever prayer, whatever plea is made by any man or by all your people Israel, each knowing the affliction of his own heart, and stretching out his hands toward this house, that would have been the temple. Then God, hear in heaven your dwelling place, and forgive and act and render to each whose heart you know, according to all his ways. For you, you only know the hearts of all the children of mankind, that they may fear you all the days that they live in the land that you gave to our fathers. Solomon's declaration there is one that Jonah was clinging to in the belly of the fish. This promise that God had made with his people, that Solomon had uttered, that if they will look to the temple, if they will lift their hands, if they will pray, if they will call out to the Lord, and notice what Solomon says there, if their hearts are true before the Lord, if they truly mean what they're saying, God, would you hear them, God, would you forgive them, and God, would you restore them? That's exactly what God does to Jonah as he's calling out to the Lord. I was talking with someone earlier this morning, and we're talking about the issue of suffering in the life of the believer and how we respond to suffering. And you could look and say in this moment that Jonah was experiencing suffering in the belly of the fish. Now, it was suffering because of his own sin, but it was suffering nonetheless. And oftentimes in our suffering, we allow our feelings to drive the ship. And yet here what Jonah does is he's looking at God's promises. He's reminding himself in this suffering, in this time when he feels as if he's probably going to die, he remembers the promises of God. He remembers what God has said is true about himself and what God has said is true about those who call out to him in their distress. We need to do the exact same thing. In our sin, we have to remind ourselves of what's true in God's word. We need to remind ourselves that in our sin, God still loves us if we're his children. That even in our sin, God still promises to forgive us if we'll simply call out in repentance to him. We remember the promise that if we're believers in Jesus Christ, that Christ's righteousness covers us. When God looks on us, he sees Jesus. It's in the moments of distress. It's in the moments of sin when we feel like the first thing we need to do is run from God, that we cling to the promises of God, which will cause us to run to him instead. Listen, if there's sin that's present in your life that needs to be dealt with this morning, oftentimes the thing that you feel is that God doesn't love you and that God doesn't care about you and that God doesn't want you to turn back to him. And can I tell you, in everything we see in the Bible, that's the exact opposite of the way God responds to those who call out to him in repentance. We have to cling, as Jonah did, to the promises of God. As we keep going in the text this morning, I know we've just passed number 3, so here's number 4 for you. Verses 8 and 9, here's the truth that I want you to write down the next step. Jonah yielded to God's will. Verses 8 and 9, Jonah yielded to God's will. I want you to notice what he says. Verse 8, those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. What got Jonah in the mess that he was in to start with is Jonah didn't want to do what God wanted him to do. Jonah was disobedient. Jonah was running from the Lord, and yet Jonah came to the realization in verse 8 that he had a problem, and that problem was that he was worshiping someone other than God. In fact, you could look at this and say about all of us in our sin that sin is simply worshiping something besides God. It could be a person. It could be a thing like money. It could be a relationship. It can be any number of things. We think idol and we think some image or something like that, but let's just be honest, we're a bit too sophisticated for that, right? We worship money or sex or a person, or maybe we worship ourselves and we think that we know better than God does for our life. That's what Jonah was doing. Yet Jonah came to the realization in his sin that, listen, idols, false gods, whatever they may be, will never give us what God gives us. And what is that? Jonah says, steadfast love. Unfailing love is what is offered to us by God. Love that doesn't change because of his feelings towards us. True, steadfast love. Jonah says there's no idol that could compare to God. And as a result, he says, with the voice of thanksgiving, God, I will sacrifice to you. And notice this, what I have vowed, I will pay. We don't know the ins and outs of that conversation. But I have to believe that in this moment, Jonah says, God, if you want me to go to Nineveh, I'm willing to go. He says, God, I will once again sacrifice to you. I'll forsake the idol that I have been worshiping, which for Jonah was maybe his self, his security, his safety, instead of going to Nineveh. But he says, God, I'm worshiping you, I'm trusting you, and I recognize that where I need to be, which is true for all of us, is in the center of God's will for our lives. Jonah says, what I have vowed to you, that is what I will do. And then he closes out. Salvation belongs to the Lord. What did God want to do through Jonah? Jonah had already experienced God's blessing and God's salvation. What did he want to do through Jonah? He wanted to carry that message to the people in Nineveh. Talked about the urgent mission of carrying the gospel to the nations. That's what God wanted to do through Jonah. And he looks and he recognizes, Jonah does, that God's mission is for salvation to be proclaimed to all nations, beginning for him personally to the people in Nineveh. And he says, God, I'm willing to follow your will for my life. I want you to notice, beginning in verse 10, God's response. The Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Now, you got to know that was fun, right? Jonah's called out to the Lord. He said, God, I received the discipline in my life. God, I recognize what you're doing. I recognize that in this moment you've called me to accomplish. God, I'm willing to do that. And God says, all right, fish, get that guy out. He's got a mission to take over. God forgave Jonah. And the fish spits Jonah up on to dry land. Now, I want to be completely transparent with you in this story, because some people have attempted to do one of two things. To say, that's a little far-fetched that a fish could swallow a man and him live in there for 3 days and all that. And so that set people off on a mission of, let's measure some fish and let's see if we have any documented cases of someone surviving in the belly of a fish and attempting to do some of that. So let me just say to you three things about this. Number one, I believe that this book is God's inspired word. I believe it's true. I believe it's accurate. I believe that Jonah was swallowed by fish. I believe that Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. I believe Jonah survived that. I believe the fish vomited him up on to dry land. I believe that because the Bible says that. And I believe the Bible. Now, let's just think logically for a moment. If the God that we worship, this is the second thing I want you to think about, if the God that we worship can create billions of galaxies, and if he can create trillions of stars and planets, and he can create a planet like the Earth that is the exact distance from the sun that it needs to be to sustain life. And if it was any further away, we would freeze to death. And if it was any closer, then we would burn up. And it's sitting at just the exact axle so that it spins around so that we don't fly up into the sky, that the gravity pulls us down and keeps us on the earth. And that God, the Bible says, holds all of that together. if the God we worship can do that, doesn't it make sense that he can create a fish big enough to swallow Jonah and sustain Jonah in the belly of the fish? I don't see an issue with that. And then here's the third thing. Jesus, in his ministry here on the earth, referenced the story of Jonah. And for me, I think this may be even the most important thing that we think about this morning. I want you to look, it'll be up on the screen this morning, but Matthew chapter 12, beginning in verse 38, says, "Some of the scribes and the Pharisees answered him," that's Jesus, "and they said to him, 'Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you.'" They knew Jesus was a miracle worker, and they said, "Show us something. And then if you show us something, we'll believe it." But he answered them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they," that's the men of Nineveh, "repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here." In Jonah's disobedience, he attempted to run from the mission that God had given him. God got his attention, and Jonah repented of his sin and turned back to the Lord. And as we'll see next week, goes and preaches a message of repentance to the people in Nineveh. And the Bible tells us that they turned from their sin. And Jesus is the true and better Jonah, who instead of running from the Lord, willingly submitted to God's plan. Left heaven, came to earth, lived as a sinless man. Took your sin and he took my sin on the cross and he paid for our sin. And he died there on the cross. And he was buried. And the Bible tells us on the third day that he was raised from the dead, securing salvation for us, conquering death, hell, and the grave. Jesus says, the story of Jonah is just a prelude to the true story of salvation through Jesus. That's what I hope we understand this morning, that we recognize this morning, that ultimately Jonah's story plays a small part in God's big story. And God's big story is a story of redemption, of sending his son, Jesus, to save us. And the question for us this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, is will you turn from your sin and trust in him for salvation this morning? And if you have done that, if you're a follower of Jesus this morning, but you're walking in sin and it hasn't been confessed and it hasn't been dealt with in your life, will you allow this moment of God's grace in your life, of his Spirit at work in your heart, to do exactly what Jonah did in his sin? And that is to turn from it and to turn back to the Lord. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your truth. Father, I ask this morning that if there are those who do not have a relationship with you, have never trusted in Jesus for salvation, Lord, would you today give them the strength and the courage to respond by faith in what Jesus accomplished on the cross for them. What his death, what his burial, and what his resurrection truly means.
Father, for those of us who have trusted in Jesus for salvation, and yet this morning we may have sin that is currently characterizing our walk. And Lord, in your grace and your mercy, you have exposed for us over the last minutes together that sin that's in our life. God, would you give us the courage, instead of trying to run from your presence this morning, would you help us in these moments ahead to repent, to call out to you, to receive the discipline that you may have been giving us, Lord, to trust your promises, and to receive your forgiveness this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.